track 12. And now we come to our feature articles. We have two items for you this week, both taken from TNF soundings. The first article, written by Fiona and read by Nikki, recounts the stories of people who found redress after their assistance dogs were not allowed into shops, cafes, hospitals and taxis. It appears that large fines and shame-faced apologies may be helping to turn the tide against those who refuse access to assistance dogs. This is followed by a light-hearted take on the trials of being a theatre director. It is read by Amanda and was written by a friend of hers.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Nikki with an article written by Fiona titled "Is the Tide Turning Against Those Who Refuse Access to Assistance Dogs?" Can you guess what these people have in common? It leaves you feeling angry, frustrated, upset, and in the end, anxious. As a mother with an ill child, I should not have to also deal with additional fear and stress. It just feels the north side of unacceptable to me. Mel Griffiths in Nottingham, Amy Kavanagh in Isleworth, and Sean Dilly in London all have visual impairment and are speaking about their experiences in being refused access with their guide dogs. Mel Griffiths and her husband Gavin, who is also blind, were left stranded when a pre-booked taxi driver refused to pick them up with their guide dogs. Dr. Amy Kavanagh was seeking urgent medical care for her daughter when a hospital security guard tried to stop her entering because she was with her guide dog. BBC correspondent Sean Dilly was told his guide dog was not allowed in Tesco supermarkets twice in 1 week. However, each of these unpleasant encounters had an unexpected outcome, which suggests that the tide may be turning against those who refuse access to assistance dogs. The taxi driver who refused to pick up Mel and Gavin was found guilty at Nottingham Magistrates Court of failing to fulfil a booking made by a disabled person due to the presence of an assistance dog. He was fined £288 and was also ordered to pay a £34 victim surcharge and £100 in compensation to both victims, as well as a contribution of £500 towards the prosecution costs. Amy received an apology from the NHS Trust, and having been contacted by The Guardian, which highlighted the story, a spokesperson for the Trust said, "We have contacted the patient to offer our sincere apologies and, importantly, to ensure that appropriate action will take place following an immediate internal review." Sean Dilly recorded the incidents in Tesco on a body-worn camera and reported them with his comments on BBC London. On hearing of Sean's difficulties, Clive Wood of Guide Dogs Charity said, "It's shocking, it's disappointing, and actually it shouldn't happen. We feel that businesses should provide the correct training for their staff so that they are aware that guide and other assistance dogs should be allowed into their properties." Commenting, Tesco said, "We were really sorry to hear about this. Everyone is welcome at Tesco, and it is unacceptable to be challenged when entering a store with a guide dog. We immediately spoke with the colleagues involved, and we are rolling out more training on guide dogs for all security officers in our stores." It seems that more and more offenders are being hit where it hurts, not only in being embarrassed into making public apologies, but in their pockets too, and not just in the UK. Little Ireland was ordered to pay €8,000, £6,833, compensation to the mother of an autistic boy who was left distressed by repeated demands that the boy's assistance dog be removed from a Little store in Dublin. The Workplace Relations Commission adjudicator ordered Little Ireland to pay them compensation to the mother for discrimination under the Equal Status Act, as well as the distress suffered by her son. In Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, a human rights tribunal ruled in favour of a visually impaired woman who says a Vancouver cafe discriminated against her. Georgia Pike uses a guide dog to navigate. She said she and her father were refused service by the Ooh La La Cafe because they were accompanied at the time by her guide dog Granger. After she spent nearly 4 years fighting her case, the tribunal found the cafe's actions to be discriminatory and ordered it to pay Georgia $12,000, £7,000. She said afterwards she is grateful for the outcome and the support she received from her father and the University of Victoria Law Centre, but says she wishes the process was simpler. There's no doubt a lot more has still to be done in highlighting the problems faced by people who have assistance dogs. Guide Dogs research shows that 75% of assistance dog owners have experienced an access refusal at some point, with 20% of those in supermarkets. The UK's government's Disability Action Plan, which was launched in February this year, lists 32 actions, including educating businesses about the legal rights of assistance dog owners. A new working group with representatives from the guide dog and assistance animals sector will make recommendations to the government on how to improve support for people with guide dog and assistance dogs. This working group will make initial recommendations to the government after 6 months and final recommendations within 12 months. It looks a long road ahead. Meanwhile, we may have to continue doing what we in Britain tend to shy away from, complain.
TNF Soundings.
Hello, this is Amanda with a piece written by a friend of mine, Mr. Jeff Saunders. It's entitled, Where is Doreen? And it's about a director talking to his cast during a rehearsal. Oh, okay. Give her 5 minutes. But answer me this. No, to the left, Raj, otherwise you can't see the door. Answer me this. Why does Doreen have a choking fit at the same point in every rehearsal? Because it's 3 rehearsals running. We get to, let me explain, Parkin, and she's off, choking. If the character was choking, I'd think Doreen was going all method on us, but no. The character is about to embark on a 2-page speech, explaining to Parkin. Yes, it had occurred to me that she hasn't learned the lines. But why doesn't she just say so? Oh, okay. We'll go from the end of her speech to give her time to recover. Oh, look at my naughty fingers, involuntary doing air quotes. No, Parkin doesn't cry in this scene, Ryland. She's just told him she's leaving Rinaldo, the Italian stallion, to return to him. But she cries. He doesn't. Because he is English and repressed. Remember, we discussed that at length. Oh yes, your weeping in the Browning version was mentioned in the Gazette, but you don't have to cry in every show. Was it quite appropriate in Cinderella? Parkin doesn't cry. Ever. Excuse me? Red carnations? Really? This is Cap Ferrat, not Croydon. Yes, well, if you'd planned ahead, we could have had prop flowers from a professional supplier, not something borrowed from the crematorium. Right. Act 2, Scene 3. From the end of Gianetta's 2-page speech, the one I am hoping to rehearse at some stage before the dress. Ryland, you're by the piano. Thank you. And Stella? Where is Stella? There you are. Please try to stay awake, Stella. Yes, I know it's been a long rehearsal, and it hasn't even started. Are we all set? Okay. Good. And action. And curtain. Thank you, everyone. That was better, though I'm glad we still have a couple of weeks more rehearsal. Yes, Ryland, it's coming along. That's true. I just think that when you are listening rather than talking, you could maybe do a bit less. Stella was doing her big speech, after a fashion, and you looked like you were simultaneously prizing a toffee off your molars and trying to shift some wind. Just listen. It's her moment. Parkin is one of the main characters, yes, and yes, your turn in King Lear may well have gained some extra audience members. Who can forget Edmund the Bastard played as a predatory homosexual in a leather harness? But Parkin isn't the only character, and this is Stella's big moment. Or it will be. Doreen, welcome back. We've just... Oh, okay, then off you go home. Give me strength. Yes, that's it. Good night, everyone. See you on Wednesday, unless I've been lucky enough to be hospitalised. Bye. Stella, no hat in this scene. We discussed it.
DNF Soundings.